Thank you so much. That always makes me cry. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to Mark 3, verse 6. Listen now for the word of God. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the cornfields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or kill?" But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now, there are three aspects of Sabbath rest to talk about today. One is you were created with a need for taking a Sabbath in your DNA. Second, Sabbath rest is important for all ages, not just for the religious and the retiring. And three, Sabbath rest is meant for all, not just for the elite. So, have you heard the sports commentators lately talk about how much LeBron James sleeps? Here's an example. I have heard at least three comments about how much he sleeps in the sports news lately, and I rarely even listen to sports except when they're talking about the Warriors, then my ears perk up. They said LeBron gets between 10 to 12 hours a night. Isn't that amazing? And so does tennis champ Roger Federer. However, only 40% of Americans, 40% of Americans get less than 7 hours a night. And I'm included in that. Being a night owl, it just ends up being that way. Rest is more and more important, not just for the athletic performance, but also for your brain's performance too, they're finding. Science is consistently showing now that sleep is very valuable and must be cherished. And in this research, they're also showing that if you drink alcohol before you go to sleep, that messes up your sleep patterns terrible. So you might be in bed for 8 hours, but the alcohol messes up your ability to get into REM sleep. And so I know it's easy to think, oh, I'll just have a little nip before bed, but it actually messes up your sleep pattern and you wake up feeling tired. So it's interesting how science is proving what the Bible has been guiding for thousands of years. The Bible is full of advice to keep your body, mind, and spirit healthy. And modern science is agreeing with that advice. We're finding out more and more. For instance, faithful prayer practice is now found to help boost your immune system And now some doctors are prescribing prayer or meditation to help with various maladies, not just with mental health problems, but with all sorts of physical problems. Because when your immune system is boosted, you can even fight off cancer that's starting to form. Mutant cells can be attacked by your immune system and done away with. But have you ever wondered why you have to rest, why you're created to rest? I wonder this often. Why did God create a day of rest after creating the earth for 6 days? Wouldn't it be much more productive if we never had to sleep or eat or rest from our labors? Think how much more work we could get done. Well, God's creation was not made only for work. We're also made to take time to be holy, to be spiritual, and to be other-focused. But in this passage in Mark, Jesus is making a statement against those who are looking for him to slip up so they can arrest him. And he knows they're watching his every move now at this point in his life. So they accuse him of disrespecting and breaking the law of Sabbath keeping. And Jesus responds by not only allowing his disciples to glean leftover wheat in the field that they're walking through after the harvest on the Sabbath, but he also heals a person with a withered hand to show his critics that there are more important things than abiding literally by the sacred laws. So what is more important than abiding by the Jewish laws? Compassion, empathy, restoration to community, and remembering that God's love is a higher priority than God's demand to rest only on the Sabbath. Reverend Tom Long says that Jesus had something deeper in mind when he rebelled against the Pharisees and the Herodians when they complained he was breaking the religious laws by healing on the Sabbath. His goal wasn't to annihilate the Sabbath law, but to restore it to its true purposes. That Sabbath is about participating in God's rest and God's justice for all. The Sabbath was created to help make life abundant and full. And Wendell Berry believes the Sabbath gives us a vein of light in the darkness of suffering in the world. He says, Sabbath reminds us of the inherent sanctity of the world and of our life. He says, it also sets aside a time to focus admiration and gratitude towards God. I like the idea of Sabbath being a time to rest in God, if you can think of it that way. Just imagine sitting on God's lap and God's arms wrapping around you, and you're resting in God when you're focusing on God on the Sabbath. Others see the observance of a Sabbath each week as a measure, though, of the extent and the depth of our faith and progress in discipleship. Keeping Sabbath shows how our priorities and our habits are in line with the ways of God. So it is an obedience to the command also. When we skip a Sabbath, we forfeit the opportunity to live our days in delight of God. And many Sabbath observers believe that everything else you do during the week is inspired and nourished by taking a rest from the frenetic pace of life one day a week. And I know I feel empty if I don't go to church somewhere on a Sunday, even if I'm traveling. There's something about getting that emptiness filled by going to church and singing the hymns and worshiping God and focus on how grateful I am for the many blessings I have. And when I don't do that, I feel like something's missing in my week. But I know that's because it's been a tradition and a habit in our family ever since I was little, thanks to my mother. And so I'm so thankful that it has been something that was always what we did ever since I was small, because then it does help me take that time, help me replenish and rejuvenate and kind of restore my soul, and also think about something else about other than myself, you know, but think about God and think about the bigger picture in my life rather than the little immediate things happening day to day. There's a book called Living the Sabbath, Discovering the Rhythms of Rest and Delight. And it says to think of Sabbath as living in godly delight. In contrast, many people in the U.S. try to deal with the chaos in life by turning to pharmaceutical sedatives or to alcohol. But when we rest, we rejuvenate. Our cells repair, our hormones balance. Sabbath rest is important for all ages, not just for the retiring. Children must rest to grow because growth hormone is released during their sleep. However, just resting and taking a Sabbath is different. Kids also need the spiritual hope that comes from worshiping God or getting them into some kind of sacred spiritual experience. Giving kids a chance to be in a place where God's love and grace and peace is practiced is such a good role modeling for children. It's a gift to young people to provide them with a sense of the spiritual part of life. And I know the kids that are here often, Cairo and Keon and Mia and Elijah, and now we have Syriana and Symphony here, but those kids, when they are here, just delight in being here, and they delight in your love and your attention also. And so it shows that it's so important because they feel the love of God through you and through the way you interact with them. In a blog about the importance of spiritual rest, Dr. Eric Zielinski says, "In our hectic lifestyles, we far too often neglect to take a moment to be still." And speak of Cairo and Keon, they just walked in. So it's good to have them here. But I love when I'm trying to like center and do centering prayer, the scripture and the words that I always try to say to myself to get centered is, "Be still and know that I am God. Be still." And so he says, Dr. Eric actually is a young chiropractor who talks about the scriptures and his medical practice. He's not a reverend or a pastor. But he includes the teaching of spiritual practices in his medical practices. And so he has a blog that's really interesting, just called Dr. Eric on Google. I found him. And he says, "We far too often neglect to take a moment each week to be still." He points out that Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And then Proverbs 19:23, he points out that it says, "The fear of the Lord," which really means the reverence of the Lord, "leads to life. Then one rests content, untouched by trouble." And then he makes a list of four things, and this is the first of the four things that he lists. But he says, if we all made an effort and succeeded to be still and rest in God, our way of life would be positively transformed. We would first be more focused on helping others instead of just helping ourselves, because our outlook on life would be more God-focused and not me-focused. And then second, he says, our hopes and our dreams would be rekindled because we would continually be reminded that our Creator is all-powerful and we would trust in God's goodness. And then three, we wouldn't run ourselves ragged all the time, but have that peace that surpasses all understanding. And then four, we would develop an ear to hear, he says, that Christ referred to, because we'd learn the sound of the Lord's voice. When you stop and listen for God's voice, you will hear an inner, soulful voice helping you rest and feel God's presence all around you. The internal healing that happens when you take time to rest in God by observing a Sabbath can lead to the healing of others as well. Remember, Jesus boiled down all the commandments into two: Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors as yourself. And these directly connect to today's passage. The first command can be accomplished by observing a sacred Sabbath time at least once weekly. And then the second, well, when you're observing the Sabbath, you're loving yourself. You're doing yourself a favor by being here today. Remember, you tend to live 7 more years longer than the average when you participate in church at least weekly. So by recharging your spiritual and your physical batteries, you are creating more energy, not only within yourself, but to love your neighbor and to help others. Jesus healed the man with the withered hand, not just physically, but he also healed him spiritually and emotionally too. He restored him to community by healing his deformity. And the healing also, I'm sure, boosted his self-esteem. Because back in those days, if you had a deformed hand or if you were born different, they looked at it as a curse from God. And so they said those who were dealing with suffering and disease were cursed, and those who were well and healthy were blessed by God. And so by healing this man, Jesus brought him back into community. Just imagine how you would feel if the Son of God took the time to touch and heal you in the temple on the Sabbath. What better way to keep the Sabbath holy than to follow Christ's lead and find others who need restoration and healing by helping them come to church too? This is a place of healing and wholeness, and you are helping make it so. All of us are important, working together to make this a place of healing and wholeness for everyone who walks in our doors, or for anyone out there in the community that we can reach out to. Many people are yearning for a place to take a Sabbath rest. That yearning is in our DNA. It's in all of us. And your invitation, when you invite someone to come to church with you, is really an invitation for healing and wholeness. Because we know the social support that comes from one another in church really helps a person's life in general, too. But I understand when you can't be here every Sunday. So just remember that it's important for you to rest in some way in God. And now we have the Sacred Space service on Saturday nights, the first Saturday of the month. So if you can't come on a Sunday morning, come the first Saturday evening. We had a beautiful service last night. About 20 of us sat up here in a circle. And then we went out to see a very inspirational video that Guy Caudle made about helping us learn from our mistakes and how God allows us to suffer and go through mistakes, or allows the earth to have mishaps happen to us so that we can grow and be resilient and be stronger and bond together with one another too. We talked about how you build up from the mistakes you make and how it can build resilience. And we learned a lot of that from the fires. Not that the fires were really a mistake we made, but it was a mistake that started the fires. And then we built up afterwards from the destruction that happened. And we're continuing to do so. And then we had 2 different tables with experiences for people to explore some aspect of that in your spiritual life. And one we left out here for you to see. We talked about the yin and the yang and how all of us have light and darkness within us, and how the Asian understanding of that compares to our understanding of our own spiritual lives and our own inner selves, and how that balance between kind of the good and the bad is in within each one of us, and how to express that and how to understand that and explore it spiritually. So take a moment and look at our yin and yang table that we created artistically with quotes and with different things that we did. And then we got back together, and Steve Yeager and Norm Smith led us in some beautiful songs. It was so beautiful. But Turn, Turn, Turn by Pete Seeger is how we ended the service, because it comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, how there is a season for everything. And it shows the balance between kind of the good and the bad that we all go through in our seasons in life. So I encourage you to come and experiment with our sacred space sometime, because it's so nourishing and so sacred. It just really helps my soul, too, to be a part of it. So what better way than to invite your friends to come and to be here with you, too? But a Thursday noon hour of prayer can be your Sabbath rest also, when we pray for one another and we go through the scriptures on Thursdays. You have no excuse for not taking some kind of Sabbath sometime during the week and rest in God in some sacred way. Volunteering to do recreation with the kids at Vacation Bible School can be a way of Sabbath rest. Getting yourself out of your comfort zones maybe a little bit and getting in here with the kids and just remembering the vitality of children. It's contagious and it makes you have more energy too. It can be a way of promoting Sabbath because you'll be serving Jesus for the benefit of the little ones who come to us that week in the summer. And we're providing that so their parents can rest and rejuvenate. Some of the parents are bringing their kids and we're not charging them anything because we know many of these parents are working two jobs and rarely get a chance to be away from their kids. And it helps them be better parents when they can have a time of rest. We also do the parents' night out now. You know, the Christian Ed Committee arranges that so the preschool parents can have a night where they go and spend 2 hours away from their kids out to dinner or just to be together alone, and the kids are here, and it's totally free. And more children have been coming to our parents' night out now, too. That's a way to provide rest and rejuvenation for the parents. None of us can truly rest, though, and be at peace until all of us have that opportunity. So think about how we can establish Sabbath rest for all. There are so many people who do work two jobs and get no day of rest because they aren't paid a fair living wage. There are many refugees and undocumented people who fled the terrible dangers in their home countries, and yet they can find no place to rest and develop as God created them to be. Sabbath rest is meant for all, not just for the elite. And so it is our job to help Sabbath rest be possible for everyone. Our DNA is crying out for Sabbath rest. And so is the DNA in everyone else. At creation, before the existence of cable TV and computers and industrial society, God earmarked one day out of seven, and he knew humans would need reprieve, a time to stop and remember why we are living the lives we are living. It could be said that Sabbath was tucked into our DNA at the very beginning. Sharon Ayala from the Point Loma University talks about losing Sabbath as society speaks up. And she says, as society speeds up even faster, she said, creation ended, even with all the glorious activity of all that God had fashioned, with the climax of rest. Why would God need to stop? After all, God is God, and if God stopped, it begs the question, why is it important that we learn to stop too? Rabbi Elijah of Vilna, one of the most significant rabbinic authorities since the Middle Ages, said it this way, God stopped to show us that what we create becomes meaningful to us only once we stop creating it and start to think about why we did so. There is grace built into the ability to pause. Judith Shulevitz once said in her book, The Sabbath World, we have to remember to stop because we have to stop to remember. Amen.